Welcome to What Is Going On's Truth in Medicine Show. Each month, broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgbeer and naturopathic medical doctor, researcher, and global health educator Dr. Donice Warden bring you the latest news and research from leading-edge science and new integrative medicine to help you outsmart cancer, chronic disease, aging, and more. Here's your hosts, Dr. Donice Warden and Sandy Sedgbeer.
Hello, welcome back to Truth in Medicine Show, co-hosted by me, Sandy Sedgbeer.
And by me, Dr. Donice Warden. From fighting cancer and other devastating diseases, to staving off or treating autoimmune and hormone issues, to holding back the years for looking and feeling better and younger, these new breakthroughs in science, medicine, and technology are occurring so rapidly these days, it's almost impossible for the average physician, let alone the average person, to keep up with the exciting treatments, trials, and innovations that are offering new insights and new hope for living longer, healthier, disease-free lives.
Which is why this month we're going to be covering a whole host of important updates for medical science and integrative medicine. So whether you're concerned about Lyme disease, cancer, hormones, sexual health, pain management, weight loss, anti-aging and fitness, or are merely interested in learning how you can become fitter, faster, healthier and smarter, stay tuned for the latest and greatest updates from the frontiers of science, health and medicine. So, Dr. Warden, I know from our conversations off air the past few days, there's so much progress being made in health and medicine. So tell me, what is exciting you the most right now?
Well, I will say GAL3, and it's called Galectin-3 and the research that's going around that, because it affects everything that we talked about in this intro. So galectin-3 is a biomarker. We can take blood from a patient and see what those levels are. And it's involved in inflammatory pathways, fibrotic pathways that makes us stiff and makes things not work well in many things. And it's becoming more and more a way for us to look at what can we do about things that we know that are not helping us. And what's very exciting, we have over 8,000 studies at this point from all the major institutions. We all know galectin-3 is a bad guy, and we need to know how to block it. And the beautiful thing is, Sandy, that now we have some natural ways to be working with it and decreasing it. And so I'm very excited about those new therapies.
So tell me a bit more about this. I mean, is it something that, right, you know, the body produces?
No, so this is really a marker. And what it is, it initiates like pro-inflammatory pathways. So it makes us be more likely to have inflammation, fibrosis, which is the stiffness and degradation of tissues. It kind of signals all these cascades in our body to do all these bad things. It also orchestrates immune suppression. It makes our immune system suppressed, so now we're not able to fight some of these things. And it's an anchor that makes inflammation and other molecules stick to it. And it makes these lattices as well, and that establishes biofilms. Now we're getting into diseases, chronic diseases and bacterias and things that the body can't fight because it's being hidden in these they're being hidden in these biofilms. And it also drives cancer growth and metastasis, organ fibrosis, as in liver fibrosis and brain, and other metabolic dysfunctions like diabetes and weight issues. So it's a very, very important marker, and it's a great one, and it's being used as a biomarker for longevity and obesity. So when we're talking about what can we do about aging, well, it's the same therapies that are anti-aging that fight cancer and obesity and diabetes and arthritis and all the things we're talking about. So this galectin-3 was a big discovery to say, what is it farther up in our body's whole cascade that is affecting all these pathways? And galectin-3 is really a new biomarker that lots of things, medications, pharmaceuticals, everybody's going after this. But we've got some natural things that in the studies are being proven and shown to block this. And that's exciting.
So can one have a test for this?
Yes, you can. In fact, I've started testing my patients. It's a little simple blood test, red blood cells. We run it, and we see how high that galactin 3 is. Now, it doesn't tell us a whole lot of things, but what it does tell me, if it's really high, it means that we may be more likely to have some of these chronic degenerative diseases or it's harder for the body to fight them. It also means I may need to dose higher some of these natural therapies. So it's not a, if you have this high, you're going to have these diseases. It just means you may have a harder time with inflammation and harder time for the therapies to work if that galactin 3 is high. So by decreasing it, we can do a lot of great things. And I'll talk about all those great things that are known that help our bodies in many different diseases. And so that's something people need to know about. And if you go and ask your doctor to run your galactin 3, they're going to say, what? But this is a way to wake everybody up. It's in the research world, and it's big. It's just not in traditional or regular medicine yet. And that's why our listeners get to be the first ones to start hearing about these things and start educating their doctors. So, Sandy, do I still have you? If not, it sounds like we lost Sandy for a minute, everybody, and that's okay. I'm going to keep talking about what galactin 3 does. When we block that bad guy, when we block that good, Sandy, you're back with us? That's all right. We've got some background, but I'm going to keep going. That's okay. I'm going to keep going. We're all right. So what we know about galactin 3 is that those infections like bacteria, parasites, virus, fungus, sepsis, even wound healing, we know that there's something that we call the ability of the body to these biofilms to cause immune evasion. So the body can't see them. They can't see these things for the body's immune system to go in there and fight. That's what biofilms do. And so by blocking galactin 3, the body can start working on getting rid of those biofilms so that body can, and or therapies can work on these things. We also know that tissue and organ fibrosis and inflammation in the heart and the lung and the kidneys, that happens when we have galactin 3 off the chart or unregulated would be the way to say it. It also affects autoimmune conditions, obesity, insulin resistance, diabetes, many other things. So it's a big, wonderful place of where we're going with this. So I got a text right now from Sandy coming in saying she got cut off. I don't think I'm cut off, so I'm going to keep going just in case we could get Sandy back on here. Okay, so we're good. I'm going to keep going here, and then hopefully we can get Sandy back on. So I'm typing for all of our listeners to know I'm not cut off. Keep trying to get in, and we'll get Sandy back in. In the meantime, we've got some, I'll keep going with this great information. So I know what Sandy's next question was going to be for me was, how do we block this galactin 3? What are the natural things we know that will block this? And one exciting one is called MCP, modified citrus pectin. And this is a natural, and that's the white part inside of the orange and inside of grapefruit, that white part. Now, first of all, you can't eat enough of it to get this effect, but they have found that the molecules in there actually block galactin 3. And so I'm getting back to Sandy here. Sorry, everybody. Okay, keep trying. All right, so I'm going to get back. we know that this modified citrus pectin, and it comes in either capsules or you can get the little chewable tablets that taste like sweet tarts or powder in water. These are wonderful ways to get this in. And so the things that we know by studies is that all the heavy metals, the positively charged ones, and that includes lead and mercury, all the bad guys, that we can try. And she said, are you talking to listeners? Yes. So stop interrupting. That's funny. Now I'm going to tell her just to keep trying. Anyway, let's go back. We know modified citrus pectin. It's going to work as a natural heavy metal chelator. That means it's going to drop the levels of heavy metals in your body. And those heavy metals have to do with a lot of bad diseases that can be charged from those. We also, especially a Harvard study, that it looks like it's working on autoimmune diseases, including rheumatoid arthritis and even osteoarthritis, because by blocking that galactin 3, it stops that breakdown of cartilage and of bone. Also, we know that it works with insulin receptors. So it's now it's working on obesity. It's helping us with that, helping us not develop or lower the amounts of medicines we need for diabetes. And that grows into longevity. We're going to live longer and better when we get those things underneath control. We also know that kidney disease progresses faster if we have a high galactin 3. And so that for those of you that say, I have or I've got a relative that this kidney disease is a problem with, that is something for you to be thinking about with this modified citrus pectin. It also, by studies, some of them are mouse studies and some of them are human studies that are beginning, but what we're seeing is aortic stenosis. That means hardening of the arteries or the blocking of the arteries. Also a Harvard study showing by that galectin-3, by that most people that have a high galectin-3, if they have Alzheimer's plaque, and we've identified they have plaque and they have Alzheimer's, they have 10 times higher values of galectin-3. So there's a connection with that and with neuroinflammation. So with the modified citrus pectin for my patients, if I have a history of, or we've looked at their, not just their family history, but their genetics, and it looks like they are at risk for Alzheimer's, MS, Parkinson's, I'm starting them on this modified citrus pectin, because now we're helping their cardiovascular, we're helping their metabolism, their arthritis, we're helping many other areas of the body. And so the question is, why not? So do we have Sandy back in?
We certainly do.
Awesome. We're so glad to have you back. Actually, Sandy, you'll laugh about this, because I would say to our listeners, well, now this is probably the next question Sandy would be asking. But to catch you up, Sandy, this galactin 3, this biomarker, what I'm talking about now are the ways we know to get that marker under control, and that includes helping with arthritis, with autoimmune, with kidney disease, with heart disease, with joint disease, with cancer growth and metastasis, with aging. And so that's the big piece that I kind of went into while you were on sabbatical there for a minute.
Okay, so I hope you haven't already answered this one. Where can people get it, and how long do they have to take it for? Is it something you take for the rest of your life?
Well, Sandy, I don't take very many things myself. I try to do as much with diet and lifestyle as I can. But as we all know, it's not much in our foods anymore. This is one substance that I take every day, and I will for the rest of my life, because it hits so many of those pathways that we're talking. So if there's any increased chance in my life or in my patient's life for any of those diseases that I just mentioned, and there are others, why wouldn't I be chelating out heavy metals? Why wouldn't I be trying to mitigate the chances of developing some of those chronic degenerative diseases? And the studies are amazing for cancer. because that's kind of where it got its foothold and everybody started looking at it, because in the cancer studies, it's amazing that we know when we block that galectin 3, it's really slow in the progression and the metastasis. So for me, to answer your question, why would we ever stop taking it? As far as what we know now, there may be something that comes along later. But for now, the closest thing to a magic bullet that I'm seeing out there in a cost-effective way would be modified citrus pectin. Where can they get it? There's Pectisol is the trademarked one that the studies have been done on. So, I mean, I carry it. If they want to call my office, they can get it from me. You've got to be careful now, because we know that there are some knockoffs. There are some other companies saying that they have it. They don't have the clinically trialed. It may not be the right dosage. So if you want to be safe, they can come to me, or they can look for Pectisol being included in the products.
Wonderful. And is it expensive?
Well, you want to say define expensive. If I want to try to block seven different things as opposed to one, I'm going to say no. It's not the least expensive supplement that you can get, but if you're taking a supplement to help with your heart, help with your liver, help with your, you know, all of this, and you can take one thing, it becomes less expensive. So to me, I do not think it is expensive in the sense that we're decreasing neuroinflammation in the brain, we're helping reversing plaque in the brain that causes Alzheimer's, we're reversing, some of this plaque that's building up in our arteries as we age. To me, it's not expensive.
Well, thank you for that. I mean, it's always great to find out, you know, from you, the latest things that are on the market, and to know that we can trust your judgment. You're listening to What Is Going On's Truth in Medicine show, and tonight's show is dedicated to bringing you up to date on some of the latest and greatest breakthroughs in health and medicine. Stay tuned for more after this break.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
My name is Meera Batra, and this is How I Live United. Many families have come to America for a better life. I advocate for these families with United Way. United Way empowers them to see opportunities available. We help them get involved with their kids, schools, and network within the community. My name is Meera Batra. I help families see opportunity and succeed. I don't just wear the shirt. I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Dr. Donice, I know that over the last, about 25 years, people have been talking about mushrooms like reishi and various other mushrooms. And a lot of people thought it was just another, you know, expensive fad. But you've got some research that tells us that it isn't. So, you know, fill us in on the magic mushrooms.
Well, there are magic mushrooms, and then there are medicinal mushrooms, and we'll talk about those. Yeah, okay. So the medicinal mushrooms have been out in the research world for a while, and they are looking so good. They're continuing to be studied. I was talking with one of the researchers at City of Hope with another group, and he's telling us about some of the preliminary studies that they've done, that the mushrooms are looking so good, and this is in particular with cancer, and that they are actually just got grant funding for even larger studies. And there have been multiple studies at this point. It's no longer at the point of, I wonder if mushrooms help. We know they do. We've just got to see which cancers or which diseases do they work the best in, and what are the proper dosages. But we're beyond debating the fact that those mushrooms are amazing. And we've got a blend that we utilize at the clinic that has clinical trials behind it and research behind it. So my patients that have cancers, we're putting on them on the modified citrus pectin, on the mushrooms, on possibly, it depends. There's other ones that we use, maybe a mistletoe, which is actually a modified citrus pectin. But we have different substances. It depends on their type of cancer. But mushrooms is a very big piece of this. And Dr. Elliott, that has been on our show before, Sandy, he has his patients before the surgery, before he removes tumors or cancerous, he is asking them to take those mushrooms before. And that's imperative. We also are all very big on the ketogenic diet and hyperbaric oxygen, which you know that I'm very big into that community, but we've learned more about timing. When do we ask patients to do this? Is it before, during, after surgery, chemo, other therapies? And we're learning that about all of the diseases, from Lyme disease to diabetes. It's really about the individual and about timing, and we're learning more every day. But mushrooms are beyond question at this point.
Well, you know, I was looking at some research on mushrooms earlier, and in fact, I've been looking at turkey tail for some time because I've read so much about it. It is very expensive. I'm assuming that it is one of the mushrooms in the blend that you're talking about. But what interested me was that I read a piece that said, because it's a plant, because you can't patent it, a lot of the drugs companies really are not funding any of the trials. But apparently the National Institutes of Health have funded a trial on turkey tail to the level of 5.4 million.
Right. So those are the kind of trials that I'm talking about when we get grant monies in these major institutions, from MD Anderson to City of Hope to these. So there are grant monies coming through that National Institutes of Health. So it's like I said, it's so apparent at this point that they can't ignore it. There would be an uproar of why are we not getting funding for these natural things. But I will say one of the trials that looked very, very good so far was actually done on those little white mushrooms, those little white button mushrooms that you buy at the grocery store. So sometimes when you get a blend, sometimes that is because different mushrooms have different properties and it keeps the cost down. So just by going full boat into one, like the turkey tail that you mentioned or reishi, those are expensive. So we might not have to do that. And so that's what the studies are about, is figuring out what blends might work best, which ones do we know. But I will say that the blend that I've got a hold of now has particular effect on different types of cancer, and some of that is known from research and trials, and that's exciting. So, you know, I mean, there are others out there, but I'm very satisfied with the one that we're using.
Do we know what it is in mushrooms that is so good?
There are different molecules, from the immune stimulation to the immune degradation. So, yes, part of the mechanism of action we do know. Some we don't. But if you consider that probably 80% of the medications out there, the pharmaceutical drugs, we don't know how they work. We know they affect a symptom downline, but we have no idea the mechanism of action. We know some things about mushrooms, but not all things about mushrooms yet. There's more to be learned. But what we do know, we're not going to have side effects.
We
have a mushroom allergy, that's rare.
So presumably it's not enough just to go to your grocery store and buy all the exotic mushrooms you can come across, or to the herb shop.
Well, I tell my patients, why wouldn't you throw in some mushrooms and things that you can cook? just once in a while. Just think they're your friends and rotate them. Rotate the brands, not the brands, the types of mushrooms, right? Rotate them. If we have a known disease and I need to go after certain things in a particular individual and I know mushrooms are going to be affected, then I'm going to put them on that supplement, that high dose. But why not day to day or at least several times a week eat mushrooms?
Yeah, why not? They taste so good.
So, it's your food. Use food as medicine. Yeah,
absolutely. So let's move on a bit. Let's talk about pain management, because we've read so much about the opioid crisis, and clearly one needs to find other ways to manage pain than just drugs.
Right. So big area, and everybody's jumping into the space, everybody. So, you know, we're looking at, and we just, in my opinion, do not have enough robust science yet to know everything we need to know about using, either smoking or inhaling or doing any of the things that we do with marijuana or THC or CBD. Now, there's some anecdotal evidence and there's some beginning trials that make it look pretty enticing. We're going to know more in the near future. Right now, we don't know enough, but I do know that if I have patients with bone cancer pain, anorexia, it means they're losing weight, they have nausea, they can't eat and all, then that is something that I think is beneficial. We've got to be careful with it because young boys whose brains haven't developed have a lot higher risk of having a psychotic break on that. We've got a, not a placebo for, you know, I mean, panacea for everything, but that's one area of great interest and great research. Others are the things that I've been doing for years. We know these electromagnetic devices, about cold lasers and devices like Scanar out of Russia, these kinds of things that work on the electromagnetic part of the body, they work. And more devices like that in the traditional space are being developed now, Sandy, because they know it. So everybody's jumping in on that too and coming out with more and more of those electrical type devices for pain management. I also, for many years, and many of us, the physicians that work in natural medicine, we know about homeopathy, but even just orally, but these injectable homeopathics that are natural anti-inflammatories, natural ways, and they don't have any side effects. They're not contraindicated with any other therapies or medications people are on. Those are safe ways to work on pain. First step always, though, what's causing the pain? Can we fix that? So you've got to work on the structural, on the body. You've got to see, is it nerve? How much of it is nutrient deficiency? All these pieces. But yes, and we do, I will say we have for a while. In the alternative natural medicine world, I think we've been doing a good job on pain management for a long time. It just got ignored because why not go let insurance pay for a pill that will take it away and you don't care about anything else either. But it's become that epidemic of, you know, it's hurting people's lives. It's destroying people's lives. So I think for people in their area to look for reputable doctors that work in pain management and are not afraid to use alternative means, there's plenty out there for us to help ourselves now.
So how easily available are things like injectables, cold laser treatment, etc.?
Right, right. So, you know, any town, I will say, they have a doctor. Even if they don't know about these injectables, they can go and learn about them. Hevert is one of the companies, H-E-V-E-R-T, that if your doctor doesn't know about these, they can go and look at them. They are FDA registered, and they're fantastic, and they work well for many things, from depression to, to pain management. So doctors can find it if they want to find it. And for patients, you can go to those websites or those companies and ask them to find a doctor in your area. And I will tell you, Sandy, I bet about once a month now, I'm on the road to different states, and I am training hundreds of doctors who want to learn about this, and I'm training them in these injections, how to inject, what to inject, and where to inject. So I think it's going to be easier and easier for our listeners to be able to find someone to help them.
Are you
and cold laser is the same.
Are you finding resistance among doctors? You know, because you talk about injectables, the word homeopathic, you know, is a loaded word, and many people just reject it out of hand.
Well, I learned years ago at the beginning, Sandy, I wanted to go to those naysayers and say, here is the research, here is the FDA registration, here's what we're seeing clinically, and try to change their minds. They would say there's no science. You give them the science and they say, I don't have time to read it. And so it's a block. Those, there's a critical mass. Once those guys all die, things might change. I have gotten to the point, Sandy, I do not spend my wheels, my time, my effort in trying to change those doctors' minds. They're not going to change no matter how much they are that they're given. There are plenty of physicians, physician's assistants, nurse practitioners. There are plenty of those. I mean, cardiologists that I work with that say, I want to learn. Tell me about this. Those are the ones that we spend our time training and working with. So is there resistance? Yes, but it's a smaller resistance than it used to be, and I will tell you there's more wanting to learn about it than not. This year, prime example, Society for Integrative Oncology. All the big hospitals and teaching research institutes are going to be there. And I mean all the big ones, and it was interesting. I didn't know that they would award me a lecture, much less a workshop, and they did because they want to know, at least know what they are. Is there any science? How are they working? They are curious to know about this. So the fact that I have a workshop at Society for Integrative Oncology, that's very, very big. Now, all the alternative places, I've already been lecturing in for years and doing this. They're already open, and they just, you know, want to learn more. But more traditional groups are saying, we want to learn more. And MD Anderson in Gilbert brought into their pharmacy for their doctors to be able to look at some of these homeopathic products. And that was a very big step as well.
Well, what would happen if, a listener goes to their doctor, they're not interested in any of this, but the listener wants it? Can they go around their doctor, you know, and get the injectables or the cold laser treatment elsewhere? How would they do that?
I tell my patients, your doctor works for you. And the minute you feel you're not being listened to or respected, fire them. You're paying us for our medical expertise. And if we are not performing, and I will say this, if they're doing well, they feel good about their game plan with their traditional doctors, stay at it. But if they're not, fire them and find a doctor who will work with you, or even if they don't want to do those therapies or learn them, they don't have time, effort, whatever it is, or interest, they will at least collaborate with the other physicians that will work with you in these areas. You should have a team around you that says, what are you after? What is your belief system? And now let's all work together to get this patient better. So I have helped give the go-ahead to many patients to fire their doctors. They think they can't. It's the God complex of, well, they're a doctor. Yeah. I can't fire them. Yes, you can. And you should, if you're not feeling listened to or your wishes aren't being respected, at least. So, no, there's plenty of doctors you can work with that will
Good.
Have a different mindset.
Good. Well, I think people need to be reminded that the doctor does work for them. So thank you for that.
That's right.
So before the break, anything new on the hormone front?
On the hormone front, I will say that, you know, we still are stuck in, is it good, is it bad? When doctors know their way around hormones, if they're too low for your age or for that, then we want them to be in a middle area. What we do know now, though, Sandy, is that we've got more tests to run to see, are we putting you at risk if you're going to be on hormones? We're looking at genetic markers. And those genetic markers are allowing me to say to a patient, yes, you're low, yes, you're having symptoms. However, these genetic markers put you at higher risk with more of these types of hormones in your body. Now, let's make a decision together. Is your quality of life so bad that you're willing to risk, feeding a cancer? As long as you're educated work with them. But we, the good news is on the hormone front, we have newer and better tests to be looking at to say, do we think it might be risky or not?
Okay. So what else is exciting you?
Boy, there are so many things that that I'm excited about. You know, just on the natural front, new products, new research going on, and I think that on the cancer front, it's learning more and more constantly from, you know, the group of researchers that I really go to and listen to, and I have together on a group once a month. So they can hear each other and help further each other. Dr. Dominic D'Agostino's work, amazing. Get on there and see what he's up to. It's always something different. He's funded by the Department of Defense. He's at University of Southern Florida. Dr. Thomas Seyfried at Boston College, his research going forward is proving what we already know, that ketogenic diet and metabolic therapies are a great way to go for cancer and any other, many of the other chronic degenerative diseases. The more science we have from these researchers, the more we can't be told, oh, we don't know enough. Dr. Robert Elliott, had him on the show. I think we'll probably have him again. His the things that he does with MS and autoimmune diseases outside of cancer, some I can't even talk about yet, are leading edge, scientifically sound, and amazing. So I'm just honored and excited to have these researchers and clinicians in my. Another one is Dr. Isaac Elias, and he is the one that has been doing a lot of the studies with modified citrus pectin and the mushrooms and some other molecules that he has. He's got another product that that I utilize that is Ion Shield, and that is protecting us from free radical damage. So when I have patients that need an X-ray or a CAT scan or a PET scan, or they're going on a long trip, they're going through, you know, the plane itself has, you know, a lot of ionizing radiation, so not to mention the security. So now we know, okay, we're going to be on these things while we're being exposed to that and grab as many of those free radicals. So Dr. Isaac Elias is another one to follow, and his research is amazing, and he's got some new research going and possibly starting with some of my colleagues at some of these other institutions, and I'm just anxious to see him go forward.
All right, it's an exciting time for medicine, certainly. You're listening to What Is Going On's Truth in Medicine show. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and this month Dr. Denise Warden and I are taking a look at some of the latest scientific and medical breakthroughs that are emerging. Still to come, anti-aging, health and fitness, and more. Stay tuned.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
I'm Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called the Bukavu in the Congo. We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day. People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything. I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at EmbraceRefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Dr. Warden, you've been training physicians in natural aesthetic medicine for 2 decades. You're a highly regarded expert in regenerative injection therapies and natural skincare products, and you've collaborated with some of Europe's top physicians and companies in new non-toxic product development and novel aesthetic procedures. So tell me, what's new in regenerative medicine? How close are we really getting to turning back the hands of time?
Well, that's an age-old question, isn't it? I say that keeping ourselves healthy and our gut health and all that is everything to do with it. But we are getting better with what we can be doing. And I think that we are learning more and more about what is toxic and what is not. And, you know, we take Botox, for an example. Now, it's been out there a long time. It's been, I won't say a long time, it's been out there long enough to say, okay, if it was really, really going to cause immediate side effects, we'd be seeing. However, the long-term effect on the brain, the nervous system, and the muscles are still pretty much unknown. Side effects are rare, but as we use more, we may start seeing them. But what I'm concerned about, and I have been from the beginning, we were told that it would stay local. Wherever you inject it in the face, it's going to stay right there on that forehead. Well, how could that be? From knowing what we know about science, and you know, there was a controversial, even as far back, I think it was in 2008, a researcher from Italy that published that when they injected muscles of rats with Botox, they found evidence of the drug in the brain stem. Now, yeah. Why does that matter? Mm-hmm. Well, Botox is the most potent neurotoxin known to man. It kills brain cells. So we're injecting it in the face, and if it's not staying local and it's getting in the brain stem, that made everybody sit up and look. It was kind of quiet for a while until a recent study from the University of Wisconsin-Madison raised even more fresh doubts about how Botox may be working in the body. And what they are showing with their studies is that when you inject Botox, that neuron, that nerve cell, actually can take that information or that Botox and migrate from one cell to the next, to the next, to the next. Now, how far it migrates, and whether that's important or dangerous, we don't know, but how could it not be? The fact is that the newest science is showing us that it doesn't stay where it's staying in that one spot, that it is that one nerve cell is taking it to the next. And the fact that in a mouse study that it was found in the brain, I say no. That's when I started looking for what else is there out there that actually works. Now, there's a lot of stuff that you can buy on the internet. It says it's promised. You see the before and after pictures. You buy it. You spend a lot of money, and it doesn't work. So, you know, I started looking into it, and I actually had to develop my own skincare line because I wanted something non-toxic, wanted something that I had as much science as I could get behind it, and that it would be working with the body, with the skin, with, you know, trying to help tighten as well as plump with natural substances that some have been used for many, many centuries, right? So that was, and then making sure the product was clean, that it didn't have all the junk in it that a lot of them do. You have great, it looks like it's all natural ingredients, but when you really know what's in there, you have toxins on board. So I you know, the personal care products, just Sandy, just as a side note is that there were about 23,000 ingredients analyzed in a study not too long ago, and they found that 400 products contained chemicals that were prohibited from use by other developed countries. And there was many of them that had insufficient data to even determine whether they're safe or not. So I say, well, if we don't know, we don't use. And so I make sure that what I have developed has all the clean products in there and that we've tested for fungal, for growth of bacteria, all the things that should be done and that our listeners should be asking of any line that they want to use. And, you know, it's getting a little bit better, like OPI reformulated its entire line of the nail lacquers and treatments and hardeners and all that because it used to have toluene and DBP, which were both known in California by Prop 65, been known to be cause cancer and reproductive toxicity. So we're starting to know more. Brazilian blowout has formaldehyde in it. Yes, I'm naming names, but formaldehyde, not good, known carcinogen. Nope. So we need to know. Yeah, we need to know what we're putting on our skin and on us. Lead in lipstick, rampant. So I go to EWG, Environmental Working Group's website, to check out my lipstick, and you just can't go to a brand. You got to look at the actual color, because one color will have lead in it, and the next one doesn't.
Well, you know, most of us cannot afford the surgical intervention.
Right.
And most people have a budget to work to. So what is there that you would recommend if somebody is really looking for something to help their skin, not just keep it soft and smooth, but maybe even, you know, reverse, if that's possible, some of the damage that time has done.
Right.
What would you recommend that's affordable?
Well, that is possible. And I will tell you that I started out many years ago. I started learned acupuncture facelift, and I saw that could be helpful. Patients liked it, but you had to come all the time to continue to do it. So now I know cold laser is well known. So I have a technique that I've developed that incorporates cold laser, which is well known to help with collagen building, with laxity, wound healing. I mean, the science is very solid on it. But I incorporate cold laser in these homeopathic injectables. And they, you know, which injectable I use depends on what the patient needs. We also use controlled damage needling. That means they're either deeper, they're shallower, they're closer together, but we control damage. That means we wake up the skin. We put a needle through there, and the body says, whoa, okay, what just happened? I need to build collagen and resistance to that. When you do, it fills it in. It helps your body produce its own chemicals that help you plump, hydrate the skin. The body, remember, knows how to repair things. So sometimes it just needs a wake-up to say, uh-oh, I need to go in there with my repair cells, repair this laxity, repair the collagen breakdown. And so, you know, this BioLift that I have incorporates several of these things that are known to help. And the injectables can be very amazing. And, again, just a reminder to the body that it needs to get in there and slow down this breakdown process.
I'm seeing a lot of, you know, you talked about cold laser. I'm seeing a lot of products on Amazon. You know, I just I think it was yesterday, I saw a new facial mask that had been created, not too expensive, that is full of lasers with red light, that wear this mask on your face, and that red light laser is supposed to be helping the skin regenerate. What's your view on those?
I will tell you, if it's a cold laser, it's not going to be inexpensive. If it's a good laser, it's probably LED. LED lights are inexpensive. Can they be beneficial? I think they can, but you'd have to wear it a long time, and to do even comparable, even to begin to compare with cold laser. So that's the first step. Is it LED or is it actually a laser? And as long as that laser is 635 nanometers or less, I'm okay with it. But if it's high powered, I'm not okay, because that can cause breakdown of the proteins in the skin. It causes protein denaturation, it's called. Now, in the long run, what is that causing? Is it going to cause deeper wrinkles? That's what hot lasers do. They can take the skin off, and after you peel off and look like you've been, you know, through a war, then your skin looks better, because guess what? It tried to repair itself. But in the long run, that caused DNA damage. Is that going to help jumpstart cancer cells? I can't make that statement, but I, in particular, believe that it can. So as long as it's low level, it's very low, it's very subtle, and if it's in the right frequencies at the right dosages, cold laser, very helpful. But the one that you're talking about, you know, and everybody's jumping in this game, trying to get a piece of that action, but it's buyer beware, because it may not be enough to stimulate anything. But if it's LED, I don't think it's going to harm anybody. How much it's going to help, I don't know.
Okay. Well, let's talk about diet and weight loss, because the newspapers, the, you know, all the websites the last few days have been full of the holy grail weight loss drug that's been found to be safe in an obesity study. Yeah, the next one. Yeah. And this study was published in the New England Journal of Medicine. Mm-hmm. So what do you know about that?
Right. Well, first of all, it was a 3-year study. And over 3 years, those that took the medicine lost about 9 pounds. But now what you have to keep reading is understand those on placebo lost 3 pounds. So it was a 6-pound difference. To me, that's not that impressive. And 9 pounds over 3 years, not that impressive. And it costs anywhere from $220 to $290 a month. Now you want to start talking expensive. And how does it work? It suppresses the appetite. Why don't we work on our mind-body? Why don't we work on our behavioral eating? Why don't we work on our relationship with food to suppress our appetite in a natural way? We'll say for Lacarsen, the other predecessors to it, they raise the risk, many of them, of cardiovascular disease. You know, that includes heart attack, stroke, pulmonary hypertension, valve, heart disease, all kinds of things. This one, the impact of this one is considered relatively small. It doesn't mean none, but the risk of it hurting your heart is relatively small. But what does relatively small mean, Sandy? And is it worth 9 pounds over 3 years and no improvement in your heart? It's not helping your heart. But so I would rather, for $290 a month, I'd say, go join some yoga classes. Go get some help in your behavioral eating patterns and suppress your appetite in a normal, beautiful, wonderful way. And again, when this has been out for years and years, we'll learn more about what are there any more side effects we just don't even know about. I think there is no holy grail. It is about behavioral eating, eating healthy live foods. Once in a while, if you want to shed some weight, do the ketogenic diet, and then you're helping benefit your neurological, your brain, and starving off some cancer cell growth. We don't need to spend $290 a month on a pill, is my opinion.
I know that one of the things you tend to recommend to your patients is intermittent fasting.
Yes, very good. And again, that doesn't cost $290 a month. So whether you fast every day, you don't eat past 6 or 7 p.m., you don't eat till noon, or 2 days a week, you do calorie restriction, 500 calories for women, 600 for men. There's a lot of ways to do it. Or once a month, you go on a 3 or 4 day water fast with your help of your physician, knowing what you're doing with it. Those are great ways to detox, cleanse the body, get that insulin resistance kind of under check. And I will say this, remember that modified citrus pectin I've been talking about, that right there, blocking galactin 3, helps you with insulin resistance, appetite suppression, and it's helping all the other pathways that we talked about. So if I was going to spend $220 to $290 a month, I would be looking for these other ways to say they're more natural, the more the body recognizes them, and there's no side effects. Fasting is a great way to try to mitigate gaining too much weight. But a lot of it is inactivity. We're sitting too much. It's a new smoking. Get a sit, stand, desk, stand up to do your work. Move more. Eat less. Fast. And, you know, if you need extra help, try the modified citrus pectin. Something to help.
Forget the Holy Grail weight loss drug. That everybody's raving about. It sounds like MCP is the holy grail for many, many things.
You know what? And I've negated, you know, I've hesitant to always say, you know, what is a magic bullet? But as far as the research is concerned, now resveratrol we knew did a lot. And I was lecturing about that for physicians when that came out many years ago. That was somewhat of a baby holy grail. It worked on a lot of these pathways, too. And maybe it was working on galactin 3, but I don't know that yet. But what I do know is that by anything that works on and helps, and includes mushrooms, MCP, anything that blocks that big pathway, galactin 3, that blocks that, you are helping all of these pathways and all of these disease states, helping either prevent, slow the progression, or, you know, reverse. Like, we're talking about atherosclerosis and brain plaque. Those are big statements, but in the mouse studies, it's proving true. And like I said, a few human studies now and research and grant monies are behind this, and you're going to hear more and more about it. So right now, the closest thing to a holy grail I know of, besides your mindset, right?
Yeah. Well, I think that's pretty much all we have time for before we close. Could you just tell any listener who may want to get MCP off of you how they can contact you?
Well, it's drworden.com, so drworden.com. But again, they can look for, you know, the Pectasol, P-E-C-T-A-S-O-L, brand name. You might look and make sure that what else is in that product and that they've done the testing on it. But in general, that's the one as far as the modified citrus pectin that you're after. And the cheaper is ones are not clinically trialed, and we don't know about them. But that one we do. And it's a good one to be looking for.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining us. This, you know, it's always great to get the information straight from you. That's all we have time for, I'm afraid. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer.
And I'm Dr. Donna Eastwarden. And if you want to know how to live the healthiest life and not fear cancer and other chronic diseases, join us on the last Thursday of every month. We plan to educate, empower, and enlighten you with information so new, you may be leading your doctor.
The theme tune for this show is from an original song called Searching by Grammy Award-winning producer, composer, musician, and author of The Secret Language of the Heart, Barry Goldstein. Until next month, it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from
Dr. And good health intentions from us both.
Thank you.